Today's program has been brought to you by Fairway Market, like no other market, a New York City institution that sells the best local, national, and international artisan foods for prices that can't be beat. For more information, visit fairwaymarket.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
How do you behave when God commands you to cultivate and protect this planet? Pope Francis criticized humanity this week for behaving poorly. He said, quote, "We are often guided by the arrogance of domination, possession, manipulation, and exploitation. We are losing the attitude of wonder, of contemplation, of listening to creation. You don't have to believe in God to see that the Pope kinda has a point. Come on, humanity, let's get it together." Edward Snowden, the 29-year-old technician who passed documents to reporters revealing two secret government surveillance programs, revealed his identity this week. He's being called a hero by some and a traitor by others. He said, quote, "I have no intention of hiding who I am because I know I have done nothing wrong. Standing up for what you believe in, that's how to behave." Sushi Yasuda in New York City announced that their servers would no longer accept gratuities. Instead, they will be paid, you know, wages by their employer. That's just crazy! But wait, when you think about it, tipping is crazy too. How do you behave when tipping in restaurants? That's what we're going to discuss today. I'm Brian Kaiser, and this is How to Behave, the Tipping Show. I'm joined in the studio today by server at a former Zagat-rated restaurant in New York City, a restaurant that once fired me over a tipping issue. Welcome back to the show, Jennifer Peterman.
Hi. Thanks for having me back.
And to my right, as always, former server, current food writer, and the woman who once thought that the term verbal tip was a good thing, Hannah Howard.
Did I really think that? I hope not.
I finally got a laugh out of this crowd. Full disclosure, I once was a server working for tips, too, for about 10 years before I decided to take a huge pay cut and become a restaurant owner.
So you're the man. You're part of the problem now.
I am now. It's been a great education. We can get into that later, but yeah.
You have a great little place, though.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes. A little pitch for Casaluma. 52nd and 9th.
Ha-ha.
The phone lines are open, so if you're listening to the live stream at heritageradionetwork.org and want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 718-497-2128. We have a couple of great experts with us today for the issue of tipping. Michael Lynn has written over 40 research publications on tipping. His work has been covered by the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, The Economist, Forbes, ABC's 2020, and NPR, amongst others. He's currently the Burton M. Sack Professor in Food and Beverage Management at Cornell University's School of Hotel Administration, the longest title of anyone who's ever been a guest on this show. Welcome, Professor Lynn.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
Thank you for joining us. Jay Porter is the owner of The Linkery in San Diego, California. The Linkery was named Best Neighborhood Restaurant in 2012 by San Diego Magazine, one of the 100 best farm-to-table restaurants in America by Gourmet Magazine, and one of the 100 best places to drink beer in America by Imbibe Magazine, one that I do not subscribe to, but I'm sure I will now that I know it exists. The Linkery is one of my favorite restaurants in the country, and it's also one of the few restaurants in the United States that doesn't allow tipping. Jay is joining us from his vacation in Copenhagen, where he is, I hope, a little drunk. Thanks for joining us, Jay.
My pleasure. Just the appropriate amount for 11 p.m.
Okay, just buzzed then.
Right. Well, at 3, call me again.
Okay, good. Yeah, we'll do a special edition of How to Behave when you're sauced in Copenhagen with you, right? So, Professor Lynn, I want to start with you, and a simple question. You've done a ton of research, and you've written a lot of papers on tipping and how it works and doesn't work, and I just want to know, does service affect the tip?
Yes, but not nearly as much as people think it does.
Yeah? What can you tell us about what really does affect how much people tip?
Oh, gosh, the biggest factor, if I wanted to predict how much in dollars and cents some dining party was going to leave, the single thing I want to know is their bill size. that explains 70% of the differences in the tips left by different dining parties.
Their bill size?
Think about it. Hmm. Bill size alone explains the dollar and cent tip amount.
So how so?
70% of the differences that different dining parties leave, 70% of those differences are explained by bill size, which means that everything else combined is left to explains the remaining 30%. In other words, bill size is twice as powerful as everything else combined in determining how much people tip.
So what if I tell you that the bill is $30 or I tell you the bill is $520, that's going to tell you what?
How much you're going to tip.
And if the bill's $30, how much am I going to tip?
You're likely to tip, what's 18% of 30 bucks?
Okay, and what if the bill's $520?
What's 18% of 520?
Oh, so you're not telling me that you learned something. You just are saying people tip 18% on average.
I'm saying more than that, because what I'm saying is that tendency to tip a percentage of the bill is so powerful, it explains 70% of the differences in the tips that different dining parties leave.
Okay.
Yeah, it's completely trivial that bill size predicts tips. Because of the 15 to 20% norm, everybody knows that the bigger the bill, the more you get as a tip. Mm-hmm. What's not trivial is how powerful that is and how much of the variance or differences in tips can be explained by that one variable alone.
So you're saying the things that we find interesting, like was the service any good or do blondes get better tips than redheads and stuff like that, actually doesn't have that much effect.
Doesn't have that much effect, not compared to bill size.
All right. Well, it's going to be a shorter show than I was planning on. So what are the most important factors that are part of that 30%?
The social rapport that the server establishes with the customer is the next most powerful predictor of tipping.
And do you have a percentage value on that?
No, but what I can tell you is that servers who engage in behaviors that establish rapport, they call the customer by name, they touch the customer, they squat down next to the table, they smile big, those kinds of simple behaviors like that can increase their tip percentage by about 20%.
Wow.
They get 20% more, not of the bill, but the tip itself is 20% higher if they engage in these rapport-building behaviors.
Wow. And do things like appearance, gender, weight, race, do those things have any meaningful
Absolutely.
Effect? Yeah,
of course. Yes. Sex is complicated, and you don't always get the effect. But
no
but
kidding.
Sometimes you find, but sometimes you find men tip waitresses better than waiters, whereas women will tip waiters better than waitresses. Again, you don't always observe that, but you observe it enough to say that at least occasionally that occurs.
Right. In all these cases,
we're
talking about generalizations.
Attractive women get better tips. Men's appearance doesn't matter as much. Whites get better tips than African American servers.
From all sorts of racial customers?
Yes, from white or black customers. Both whites and blacks will tip a white server more than a black server.
Interesting. Jay, so by taking away tips in your restaurant, you're really robbing the females of the ability to make more money. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, that's exactly the point. And we should be clear that at our restaurant, we have an 18% line item service charge for table service. So so in some people's minds, and I think it's an interesting conflation, right, that's like a tip. We explain that tipping is charging for table service. And, I mean, tipping is a way in which revenue is generated to cover the cost of table service. So by fixing that as a line item, what we do is we definitely level that playing field that Professor Lynn's talking about there. It's no longer incumbent upon... And I think it's really important here that it's a lot of cases this is a dynamic between a male diner and a female server, and it's no longer incumbent upon the female server to touch the customer, smile, be white, in order to get paid for their for the professional service they provide. And so that, you know, that is a radical notion that as a restaurant, maybe we want to be a little bit different in our payment model than, say, a place where people dance on tables. But that's, and as you can imagine, making that assertion about what we do has offended certain people, particularly some male diners, that really part of the restaurant experience is having the sensation of control over the young, typically female server.
Yeah, we were just talking before came on the air.
So we are removing that dynamic very consciously from the guest experience. I think that fortunately there's lots of places you can go and have that dynamic in play. But we're running an experiment and saying, what would a restaurant be like if that's not an option?
And do you find that the service
it's been an interesting experiment.
Do you find that the service is noticeably different because you do this? I assume if it was worse, you would have stopped the experiment. So is it better, or is it just not an issue in the quality of service?
Actually, we have an interesting control in that we have a second restaurant that does not have this system. And the reason for that, I should say, is that the second restaurant has a strong bar component, and it turned out to be logistically very difficult to explain our system in a bar environment. So we retained the tipping system in that second restaurant. And we find without question that it's much easier to generate a culture of great service when everybody benefits, when everyone's facing the same direction, when we don't have the things that Professor Lin is talking about in terms of how a server can maximize their individual income at a table is not necessarily consistent with providing great service. Smiling or being white is not necessarily mean that is not necessarily the goal of a professional service organization.
Yeah, I think we've all discovered that people tip on hospitality. They don't actually tip on service. Mm-hmm. Like whether your water glass is full or, you know, the tables that leave me the best tips are the ones that like me, even if I forgot their side of spinach and their drinks took 20 minutes.
Well, I feel like being inept is forgivable, while being rude is unforgivable to
right.
people.
You've made a career on that, Hannah.
Hannah's
first job as a waiter was with me.
Get to work. That's what Lynn is talking about, which is, you know, kneeling down and touching the guest on the shoulder or even traits that are beyond your control, like your race. If that affects the individual server income, that starts to get to an area that's not really directly related to hospitality, and yeah. And so we're operating in an environment in which we're really actually isolating hospitality, and we're able to have our day-to-day managers focus on that and our staff focus on that, so that they don't have to focus on drawing smiley faces on checks.
Yeah, Professor Lin, have you done research on the restaurants in the few restaurants in the country that have eliminated tipping in one way or another, and how that affects service or hospitality or anything else?
Yes, about 40% of the restaurants in Miami Beach, Florida, have replaced tipping with automatic service charges, in large part because of the large number of foreign guests there who don't follow U.S. tipping norms. So it becomes problematic staffing restaurants there.
Do they accept tips on top of the service charge?
I'm sorry?
Do they accept tips on top of the service charge?
You know, I don't know. But
because what Jay does at the Linkery is they...
I think that's a really important distinction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what I was able to do was to get Zagat guides. Zagat publishes guides for geographic regions, and they have ratings of food, service quality, etc., and average prices that are supplied by actual customers of those restaurants. And so I simply took the Zagat guide, used their ratings of price, food, decor, and service, and called the restaurants and asked, do you have an automatic service charge or is there voluntary tipping? And was able to divide the restaurants into two groups. And what I found was service ratings were higher at the restaurants that had tipping, voluntary tipping.
Not a lot higher,
but a little bit higher.
But there's such an important distinction, because If you allow tipping but also have a service charge, then you're just basically boosting, you're kind of artificially boosting the floor of what the tips can be. But that's a lot different. You're still allowing the guest to tip based on all of these social norms that that Professor Lin's talking about, or the server's race, you know, or whether they write smiley faces in the check. If you're the not accepting tips is a fundamentally different guest experience. And I think that's a really, you know, when you're charging and saying, no, we won't take any more money than that, now you've transformed the guest experience and the whole hospitality thing.
I think that's a really good point, Jay, but we're going to have to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about the difference between allowing extra tipping and not, and my unified theory of gratuities. This is How to Behave on the Heritage Radio Network.org.
You're listening to Onion's Milk by Iggy Dean on the Heritage Radio Network.org. Keep it locked for more How to Behave.
Hi, I'm Steve Jenkins from Fairway Markets. We support Heritage Radio Network because all you folks listening are so genuine, so dedicated to serious food, so much a part of what this country needs to strive to become. People like you are few and far between, and it's obvious to us at Fairway that we've got to stick together. Our desire is that the word gets out about Heritage Radio Network in its support for serious food, foodstuffs that offer memorability and timelessness, authenticity and rarefied quality. This country grew too fast to have established any degree of a heritage. Europe had centuries to develop one. America has not. Heritage Radio Network serves to hasten the evolution of a society that often appears coarse and uninterested. For more information, please visit fairwaymarket.com.
Welcome back. This is How to Behave on the Heritage Radio Network. We are talking about tipping in restaurants with Professor Michael Lin from Cornell and Jay Porter, the owner of The Linkery in San Diego. In the studio with us is Jennifer Peterman, who has a great story about tipping in restaurants. Is this a steakhouse story?
It's a steakhouse story. I've been in service for longer than would seem understandable, but since 1990, so 20.
Since you were four.
Right, 20 blah years. And, you know, the steakhouse dynamic is very different than any other house that I've been in, just with income and status and product. But I'm going to tell my friend Tom's story, and I don't do it justice that he does. But he approached a table of four business suits, and one of the guys lined up bills on the table down to change, tens, fives, and singles. And he stopped my friend Tom and said to him, this is your tip. So if at any point you do something that I don't like or it's not good enough, I'm going to take money away. So Tom just stopped and looked at him dead face, and he pushed all of the money back at him. And he said, you know what, sir, you keep your money. You just bought an evening of shitty service.
I love that.
Me too. I mean, it speaks to his no bullshit attitude, and also just the personal integrity of what it's like to lion tame with these guys, and, you know, take pride in your service and your product, and then have a guy buy you, you know, thinks that you're a servant, and it's just you know, wasn't the case for us or him. So
Jay, in your restaurant, you don't allow tipping, and anybody who leaves extra money, that money goes to your charity of the month. Is that correct?
That's correct, yeah.
So you've taken away this part of the game, the ability for people to sort of dangle the dollar out there as a carrot on a stick for the waiter, or to play their power game or whatever, right? And how does that work?
Right. That guy who wants to go and have that experience where he gets to feel control, the guy she's describing in the steakhouse, you know, he doesn't come to our restaurant anymore. He came once and he was shocked and figured out that you know, we were going to give the best service we could no matter what, and that wasn't about him being special. And so he doesn't come back. It turns out that's a significant but not necessary portion of the restaurant going public. But you know, it is a significant one, and we're saying, you know, our proposition is that we'd rather not work with those guys. You know, work for those guys.
Can I ask you? I'm curious what your servers make yearly for a 40-hour work week. I don't know if that's appropriate, but I'm, you know.
No, I don't mind. I don't mind sharing. I think it's important to realize that it's extremely different market to market. San Diego is not an A market for restaurants.
Okay, that's fair.
You know, I can say that, you know, we're definitely in the top third, but we're not in the highest level of San Diego uh-huh. restaurants. And our senior servers make, you know, around $20 an hour.
Okay.
Including wage and tip.
And do you have a lot of turnover with your senior servers? Or how long do they stay?
You know, it's interesting. It's gone in shifts. Our restaurant, for a long time, we had very little turnover, and I think in the last year or two, we've seen more of that, and I think that's reflective of the market, how the market's been changing in San Diego. It's been very tumultuous in terms of restaurants coming and going and new concepts and what part of town is hot for a second, you know.
Right.
I would say in general we have less than most restaurants. I think for a long time we had much less than most restaurants, although recently, the last year or so, I'd say we're more average.
When would you compare your two restaurants with the two different compensation schemes in terms of turnover?
Yeah, the people at our fixed restaurant make more, and when we have less turnover. And we actually have a higher. I think my impression is we have a higher satisfaction with the team at our fixed service charge model. The kind of people who are attracted to that model, and you know, it's the only place in town where you can work this way, and you're going to have a very stable hourly rate and a fairly stable weekly paycheck. You know, it's people who I think are largely, you know, they're not part of the people who got into service to make a quick buck. There's people who are interested in being in the hospitality industry for a slightly longer period of time, at least, and who like this more stable situation.
It sounds to me like it's a personality thing. Like, I know there are people who will only work in pooled houses, and there are people who will only work in non-pool houses. And it's not that one's better than the other. It's just that people's different personalities prefer different setups, and there's certainly people who would love the consistency of the no tipping setup.
A non-pooled house will
right. So both of oh.
no,
both of our houses are pool. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
I said both of our houses are basically pooled houses. I mean, the Linkery with its service charge acts like a pooled house. The difference is that the Linkery has the added value of never at a table or with a guest having, for the employee's point of view, never having to deal with the anecdote that, was that Jennifer who told that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Anecdote. Yeah. That kind of anecdote. So it's a little bit of bonus of that. You never have to deal with the person who's going to dangle money in front of you and demean you in order to make you earn that money. And that's just a real pleasant, I think, bonus in the working environment.
So since this sounds like such a successful model, why is it so utterly revolutionary? Why don't we see this around more? It just seems, you know, how many people have said, why don't we do this? And why do we think so few have?
Mike, do you have any thoughts on that? You've done
some
research.
I've done some studies looking at those two different systems. And one of the biggest reasons is that the consumer doesn't like being told how much to, you know, that there's an automatic service charge. If you just do surveys, a lot of people are unhappy with the tipping system. But the one thing that's even less popular is automatic service charges, in part because people think of it as a forced tip. They would much prefer service-inclusive pricing until you ask them, are you willing to pay higher prices in order to have that? And then they go, no, I don't like high prices either. But so why don't people do more service charges? Because a lot of consumers would be upset. You can get away with it a little bit more at upscale restaurants where the customer's a little less price sensitive, and
yeah. and will not be as upset.
All the restaurants I know of that do this, and I didn't know about Miami, but all the restaurants I know are, except for the Linkery, are incredibly expensive.
Right.
It seems that they're, I guess, more confident that they can get away with it, or what?
I really agree with what Professor Lin's saying, and that's been our perception as well, and particularly about how the most important thing is that consumers, the guests, are quite price sensitive. So building the service charge in at our mid-range level is really is not really feasible. But I will say this, is that we definitely get resistance to the policy, and but the resistance is more loud than it is broad. The people who don't like it, and I've definitely been pilloried, is that how you say that word? I've definitely been, strung up in the press and lots of, horrible Yelp reviews about what a bad person I am for not letting people tip. And I use those words carefully because it's specifically that. When the people get angry in the restaurant or online, the first words out of his mouth, because it's always a guy, is, I tip more than 20% every time, mm-hmm. but it's a matter of principle that I should be able to decide how much the server's going to get.
I'm just curious why it's assumed that, why is it assumed that the consumer is not going to get good service? The intention isn't, that the service isn't going to be good. Do you train your staff to a level of hospitality and fun
If the idea of tipping was so awesome, every industry would adopt it, and they don't.
Right. There are plenty of industries with great service that don't have tipping. In fact, all of them.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. When you went into the Gap, they'd be working for tips. That would be a nightmare, and they don't do that.
Think about it. Where else? It's a very odd custom where businesses are letting somebody else pay their employees.
Yeah, and as a business owner...
That invites the employee to collude with the customer against the interest of the restaurateur, give away free drinks, don't charge for refills, give desserts without charging, do all kinds of stuff. Or even then you now have 50 or five different customers and you're going to pay more, or bosses, because each customer is a boss.
Starting Friday, Casalula is eliminating tipping.
They're going to give you a better tip. I mean, it is a crazy way of compensating people.
Yeah, it really is. I have two questions. One is, has any restaurant ever gotten rid of tipping and then switched back to tipping? And the other is, my staff, and I know this is pretty common in, the fine dining in New York City, I don't know about elsewhere, but my servers average between 22% and 23%. That's average. So if I initiated a 20% gratuity, they would make less money. How do you talk your staff into doing that?
I can address that second question. We were the same way. We went from a 21% tip before we switched to this service, to this 18% service charge. And for the first 6 weeks or so, everybody made less money. But the quality of our hospitality went up so much that we did more covers. And I think every server knows, and this relates to what Professor Lin said at the beginning, I would say he said that the determinant of what people tip is the bill size. The biggest determinant in what a server makes is not their percentage of tips, but the number of covers they do that night. So the number of covers, and I think every server knows this, that the name of the game is to handle as many covers, as many guests as they can that night. And that's...
I would have to disagree with you.
What happened when we switched to this model is we did so many more guests that every server made more money.
If you turn a table, that's one thing. And coverage is fine, but it's also, to me, it's money to bullshit ratio. I mean, I need to keep a great guest there that's having a great experience, not for as long as possible, but for the amount of time that their experience allows. So if it's a 5-course dinner and they're celebrating an anniversary or a graduation or whatever, and they're spending a lot of money and they're having a great time, I want them in my world for as long as possible. And deal with the maitre d' and tell the maitre d', listen, this is a big deal. It's a special occasion. Here's the check average. I'm not turning them out because I'm having a good time. And
Well, of course, that's just your professionalism speaking. But if you're just if you were just wanting to maximize your income on that night,
well, that you know, then we can
a mid-range restaurant like ours, where you know, the biggest thing is to get a bigger section. You know, give a shittier service, but
no.
You know, have more guests.
No,
yeah, you know, that's gonna.
Well, you
obviously have a professional ethos. But in terms of the straight math of maximizing mm-hmm. maximizing your income on a given night, number of covers does it better than anything.
Okay, we're going to have to go. Final question, Mike. Do you know of any restaurants that have switched away from tipping and then found that it didn't work and switched back?
It seems to... I don't know from personal, first-hand experience, but I've read about the Rattlesnake Club in Colorado that switched to... service charges, and then ultimately switched back. And what I remember reading about that was they found over time they implemented a service charge but didn't prohibit tipping. And so basically what they found was that customers started tipping, and then more customers started tipping, and ultimately there was so much pressure on the customer that they were ultimately leaving tips as though there was no service charge. And at that point, it was too expensive. And so they got less business. And they said, since our customers are tipping anyway, we're just going to go back to a tipping system.
Yeah, so they went back to the system to bring in less money, as it turns out. All right, well, ladies, I think, do we all agree that tips are based on how awesome the servers are, and servers are awesome regardless of the tips?
Regardless.
Slackers are slackers, and great servers are great servers, no matter what the tip system is.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
All right. That's all the time we have today.
No.
Thanks to today's guests.
The waitress has spoken.
Professor Michael Lin of Cornell and Jay Porter of the Linkery in San Diego. It's a great restaurant. Go there when you're in San Diego. Thanks to Jennifer Peterman and to the woman who blogged whatever she wanted while working for me, knowing she was protected by whistleblower laws, Hannah Howard. The How to Behave theme is courtesy of John Lundbaum and Big Five Chord. Check them out at BigFiveChord.com. Thanks to Joe Galarraga for engineering today's show and for figuring out how to make a phone call to Denmark. You can always find episodes of How to Behave and lots of other great shows at HeritageRadioNetwork.org. I'm Brian Kaiser. And you want a tip? I got a tip for you. Don't wear wool to a summer wedding in Louisiana. This is How to Behave on the Heritage Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to this program on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Heritage_Radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.